app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A historic indictment today against Hunter Biden, who faces federal charges stemming from a gun purchase 5 years ago. CBS's Natalie Brand has details.
The indictment alleges Hunter Biden knowingly made a false and fictitious written statement when he bought a weapon in 2018 and unlawfully possessed the gun as a drug user. The special counsel overseeing Hunter Biden's case has indicated that tax-related charges that were part of the previous plea deal could still be filed.
This comes just a day after Republicans announced an impeachment inquiry against President Biden and ahead of 2024. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
It's fueling the Republicans. It gives additional jitters to the Democrats, and it causes personal distress to the president.
If convicted, Hunter faces years in prison. Auto workers are about 6 hours away now from a possible strike. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
11:59 Eastern time is when the contract with the United Auto Workers Union expires. If there's not a deal, we will see auto workers walk off the job. It won't be at every plant. It will be at certain targeted plants, the union says.
The union says it's still far apart in contract talks with automakers. In Georgia, a judge has separated the state's 2020 elections case. Attorney Joseph Tully.
Two people that have said, look, we're not waiving speedy trial. We want to go to trial right away. Everybody else is saying we need time to look at over all the evidence. We need time to adequately prepare. So the judge is cutting basically two of the accused loose, and they will be tried together.
Lawyers Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough go on trial next month. The biggest threat to national security in 2024 could be illegal drugs from Mexico. Homeland Security says more than 100,000 people died from overdoses last year. Hurricane Lee is barreling towards the northeast. WBZ-TV's Tammy Mutasa.
South at the Cape, Sandwich is in prep mode, bracing for a hit. For first responders, three things are top of mind.
Storm surge, rain and flooding, and then the wind.
And at Plymouth Harbor, boaters aren't taking any chances, pulling in their vessels, not knowing what Mother Nature does.
Look how big it is!
A Girl Scout troop had a terrifying close call with a 14-foot alligator during a camping trip in Texas. That happened over the weekend, but the video is now going viral. Luckily, no one was hurt. And more than 130 years after creating its logo, Johnson & Johnson says it's creating a new, more modern one. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Granger,
for Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers expressed his displeasure with what he calls Republicans' ongoing attempts to illegally fire Chief Elections Administrator Megan Wolf. In a press release, Governor Evers stated, Wisconsin Republicans attempt to illegally fire Wisconsin's Elections Administrator without cause today shows they are continuing to escalate efforts to sow distrust and disinformation about our elections, denigrate our clerks, poll workers, and elections administrators, and undermine basic tenets of our democracy, including the peaceful transfer of power. Governor Evers also slammed Wisconsin Republicans for attempting to override his partial veto in the 2023-2025 budget, which provided Wisconsin schools with continued funding for the next 400 years. According to that press release, overriding the veto would take more than $300 per student away from K-12 schools across Wisconsin. Governor Evers referred to the vote to override the veto as reckless and wrong. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocate's Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, yeah. The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
93.5
The Tap.
Show. I'm not Maggie Dawn. I'm Mike Crute, and I got a fine guest right from the top because I can only aspire to be smart and legalistic like Maggie Dawn. So I got to bring on a smart guest, a lawyer by trade, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. And he's also the host of his own fine program. You're going to want to stick around. Mark's Paul Revere Show happens right here on the Civic Media Network starting at 7. Mark Thompson, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, man. Suffer through with Crudy. How you doing, Mark?
Good evening, Mr. Crute. It's great to see you. It's always a privilege and honor to join you on any show that you have on Civic Media.
Well, Mark, it's troubling times, and these continue to be troubling times here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's jump right into it, sir. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is kind of in a professional fight for her life. And the Senate, through their elections committee, has apparently taken up her nomination, even though it was not offered by the elections commissioners. So, Mark, let's start. Let's set the stage. She shouldn't really be before the Senate at this point, yet they've taken her up. Why not? What is the legal theory behind the abstaining from voting on the Democratic members' part?
If I may, can I go back to 2016 and just put this Absolutely. In some historical perspective? In 2016, the Wisconsin Elections Commission was created. I want folks to remember that the Republicans voted to abolish the governmental accounting board that was essentially retired judges, nonpartisan, that were running elections and ethics in the state. And when they started asking questions about money and where the Republicans were getting their money, what they were doing with their money, the Republicans abolished that entity and created a bipartisan elections commission made up of three Democrats and three Republicans, a little more complicated. At the time when we were originally created, we voted 6-0 to nominate Michael Haas, who was well respected around the country and in the state as a person committed to public service and nonpartisan issues, and an expert on elections to be our first administrator.
And he had had a prior role, Mark. If I recall, Mike Haas had been with the Government Accountability Board. So his crime was what? His prior employer.
He was they put him, the far right Republicans put him on a hit list because he was the assistant to Mr. Kennedy at the time. The key question, though, was there were six officials that voted, three Republicans, three Democrats. We all thought Michael Haass was the most qualified person to do it. It went to the Senate, and the Senate didn't confirm him. It came back to us, and we voted 4-2. Bev Gill was a Republican that was so angry that her party was willing to attack Michael Haass personally and ruin his career personally because of a political agenda. She would have nothing to do with it. And her guts allowed us at that time then to sit down and cut a deal with the Senate. And Jody Jensen was on the commission at that time, and we reached an agreement with the Senate that if we nominated Megan Wolf, they would confirm Megan Wolf. And Megan Wolf was confirmed as the administrator. And she has done an exceptional job. She is recognized around the country as one of the leading, smartest, brightest election officials. They look to her all over the country. All the commissioners currently, except Mr. Spindell, but I think the consensus is that there are at least five of us that believe Megan Wolf is the most qualified person to serve as the administrator. So this gets us up to date to your question. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled in a case called Prane that a holdover appointee can stay in their office unless there's a vacancy, and that no one can nominate a new person. You'll recall Governor Evers tried to appoint his own appointee, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do it, you can't appoint them, because there's no vacancy. Well, under that decision, and the Attorney General, Josh Call, issued a specific legal opinion saying unless there is a vacancy, the Wisconsin Election Commission cannot nominate a new administrator. We could certainly remove the administrator, Megan Wolf, and no one wanted to remove her. She didn't resign. There was no vacancy, so there was no ability to nominate. Now, at the Elections Commission meeting, there was a motion made by one of the Republican commissioners to nominate Megan Wolf. I believe that those votes, at least two of them, to nominate Megan Wolf was based on the assumption that she would be sent to the Senate and the Senate would listen to them and confirm her. My vote, I didn't vote on that. I said there was not a legal, there was not a vacancy, so there was not a legal motion on the table. We did not have the legal ability to nominate anyone because Megan Wolf serves as the administrator, and she's there until she resigns or we fire. But no one on the commission wants to fire her. So she is the administrator.
My fine guest is Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. He's an attorney by trade. He hosts the Paul Revere Show, and I'm sure he'll talk more on this topic and others. Who do you have tonight? Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader. Who's your other guest, Mark?
Tonight we have Deborah Kronmiller, who is the head of the League of Women Voters and the current chairperson of Wisconsin Fair Maps. And we are going to be spending the hour getting their viewpoints on what the issues are facing the state of Wisconsin.
Well, Mark, sorry to interrupt. So back to today's action in the State Senate Election Committee, there was a 3-1 vote to effectively take up this non-nomination and move it to the full Senate. And three Republicans voted effectively against the nomination, but they are ignoring legal counsel, the legislative legal counsel. They're ignoring the attorney general's legal opinion, and they're moving forward anyways. And Thursday, Mark, the full Senate meets here. And as soon as Thursday, this Senate, regardless of legal standing, could take up this matter and effectively get rid of Megan Wolf. Or that is at least what we could see a vote on. And then what happens, Mark? Because we're at a constitutional crisis, because it doesn't seem as if the commissioner, Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator, plans on vacating her position anytime soon.
Well, I don't know whether we would be at a constitutional crisis on this issue. I think Josh called, the attorney general has been very clear that there has not been a legal nomination of a new administrator from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because the statutes specifically require four votes from the commission to send a nomination to the Senate. And there were not four votes to send the nomination to the Senate. There is no legal nomination. So the to the extent the Shared Revenue and Elections and Consumer Protection Committee, chaired by Dan Knotel, whatever they did today, I think is courts will construe it as a nullity. Whether or not the Senate Majority Leader, Devin LeMahieu, actually puts it on the Senate floor, I don't know. But I don't think there's anything on the floor. And I think it's an exercise in futility. And frankly, you know, I don't know what they're doing, because if they would go talk to the commissioners, they'll tell them that Megan Wolf is the most competent, nonpartisan person to be running elections. And we have major elections coming up in 2024, and this is not the time to change the person running those elections. If you ask the clerks, municipal clerks around the state, they fully support, or, you know, by vast majority fully support Megan Wolf. You know, I look at...
Maybe that's the problem, Mark. No. Maybe they don't want competent administrators in place for next year's election. Have you considered that, sir?
You know, I'd like to believe that, you know, 90% of my fellow citizens and 90% of their elected representatives believe in elections and that we should have competent people running them. I am aware that there are a handful of people that, you know, are operating under this lie that is promoted by former President and now indicted Trump, that he lost, or that Biden lost, and he won the election. Now, Dean Knutson, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, a conservative Republican, said out loud at a commission meeting, Donald Trump lost. Donald Trump lost. Fact. Game over. Now, those crazies fired him, but that's where we're at in Wisconsin. We got some crazies that are trying to tell the 90% what to do.
Mark Thompson, our friend, he is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. He is an attorney by trade, and he is the host of the Paul Revere Show. And it follows this fine program, the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you, Mark, for joining me here.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from Northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
road trip.
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the Flannel and Fire Fall Festival. There's a corn maze, s'mores station, flannel dress-up contest, and the Apple River Quilt Guild show, too. It's fall-focused and has been for more than 74 years. The Flannel and Fire Fall Festival, Thursday through Sunday, September 14th to the 17th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More info at amoryfallfestival.org. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight. Lows drop into the upper 50s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, some showers and storms, especially first half of the day. High near 70. Sunny and low 70s for the weekend. Dry with a warming trend to start next week. Right now it's 76.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Show. I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Mike Crude. I'll be filling in for Maggie this week. I'll try to continue to bring you fine guests like Maggie would. Guests like Mark Thompson. He is a Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. He is a host here on the Civic Media Network. He plays out next. And you're going to want to stick around. It's not just the issue of the Megan Wolf and how we're dealing. And when I say we, I mean these Republicans. Senate Elections Committee took up Megan Wolf, despite the fact there's no legal cause for them to do so. And by a 3-1 vote, they're effectively moving it to the full Senate. That could be a vote on Thursday. We've seen a lawsuit filed by Tim Burns. Tim Burns is a former Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. We didn't even get there with Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson will talk, I suspect, with Greta Neubauer and his other fine panel of guests tonight about the threatened impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz as well. That might be the constitutional crisis. Now, he didn't believe this issue with Megan Wolf is a constitutional crisis. If I understood Commissioner Mark Thompson correctly, he effectively thought that Knodel's action, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or pardon me, the Senate Election Committee's action today effectively really has zero value. Doesn't have any legal weight. So we'll see. And we'll see if the Senate takes up Megan Wolf, the, again, Wisconsin Election Commission administrator. But I would speculate Republicans don't want competent people in charge. Makes it hard to, let's just say, challenge and overturn elections here in the state of Wisconsin. And our pal, Maggie Dawn, she was on that wall. During the Milwaukee recount, she was on the other side of Jim Troupas. And if you don't know that name, look in some of the indictment stuff, some of the J6 stuff. Jim Troupas was Trump's vessel, one of, here in the state of Wisconsin, to overturn the election. And when we talk about removing the election commissioner administrator, who doesn't even really set the rules of the road, she just takes someone else's lead, you know, these six bipartisan elections commissioners, and one of which is not even very bipartisan, and Bob Spindell, he's kind of on the fake electors list himself, yet continues to serve on Wisconsin's election panel. That's a whole different problem. But there's an opinion piece over at the Journal Sentinel, and I'd like to share it with you. Also like to hear your opinions here on the Maggie Dawn Show tonight. I believe all the phone numbers are all the same, so I know it. 844-967-2789. You know the number as well. 844-967-2789. But the headline here, can the Wisconsin Supreme Court overcome its fractured relations, question mark? No, probably not. Observers fear a point of no return. Jesse Apoyan from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was April 2017 when the Wisconsin Supreme Court, after a heated debate, rejected an effort to establish a rule requiring justices to step aside from cases involving their biggest financial backers. I think then Justice Shirley Abrahamson joked as the court wrapped up its debate with a 5-2 vote, "We may need a therapy session, but that's not for me to say." 6 years later, the conservative justices who outnumbered Abrahamson and Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, that's the good Bradley, on the recusal vote have lost what was once an iron grip on the court's ideological majority. And Republican lawmakers are threatening the court's newest liberal justice with impeachment if she doesn't recuse from a case that could benefit her biggest campaign contributor. That's a stretch. The Democratic Party, but anyways, I read on. This time, one former justice worries a therapy session might not be enough to repair the fractures within the court that have only deepened since Justice Janet Protasiewicz was sworn in last month. That's not our fault. Here is a quote. "So many harsh, terrible things have been said. It's going to be very hard, I think, for them to sit at a table and be able to find common ground and to be able to compromise on whatever they need to compromise on," said former Justice Jeanine Jeske. "There are a lot of layers to this. Somebody's going to have to work through. And I think it's going to be hard for them to be able to do it. I don't know what can be done." Now, Senator Van Wongard from Racine, Republican, recently likened the dynamic of the court to a food fight. Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather called it a mess. Here's another quote. "My guess is that the conflict just furthers the sense that's been growing for a while, that there's just political actors, that there's no difference between what they do and what members of the legislature do. And that's a problem because they're not supposed to do the same job." And a little separation of the powers, if you will. Now, they had already made the decision that campaign contributions are not enough to force recusal. I keep hearkening back to Prosser. The 2017 vote was far from the first time the court sparred over recusal standards, but it was significant. The court's conservative majority, I guess that was after Prosser, then Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, Justice Rebecca Bradley, that's the bad one, current Justice Annette Sigler, and former Justices Michael Gableman and Dan Kelly voted to keep in place rules adopted in 2010 that says a judge shall not be required to recuse based solely on an endorsement or campaign contribution. The conservative justices rejected a proposal to establish a campaign contribution threshold that would force a judge or justice off a case involving the donor, arguing it would impede free speech. "The question is whether we should tell judges in the state that we don't trust them to determine when they should recuse from a case," said Kelly, whom Protasiewicz defeated by 11 points. If you're doing the math, can't spell Kelly without two L's. "I think that's caustic and inappropriate, an unnecessary thing for us to do." Rebecca Bradley said every judge and justice in Wisconsin should be highly.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden spoke in Maryland today but did not mention his son Hunter's federal indictment stemming from a gun purchase in Delaware. CBS's Errol Barnett has more.
Two counts are related to Biden claiming he was not using illegal drugs when he purchased a revolver back in October of 2018.
Hunter's trial date hasn't been set yet. Thousands of auto workers could go on strike at midnight without a new contract deal from Detroit's three big automakers, Ford CEO Jim Fairley.
I think they're preparing for a historic strike with all three companies. We're looking to make history with a historic deal.
But both sides are reportedly still far apart on negotiations. The deadline again for that deal is midnight. And Captain Kevin Battle is helping pull boats from the water in Portland, Maine now, ahead of Hurricane Lee.
We've had this threat before in the past, and then we've been lucky in the past. Eventually, luck's going to run out and it's going to hit us. This may very well hit us.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin health officials are urging residents to get updated COVID-19 vaccinations as confirmed cases begin to rise in the state. Officials say the new vaccine is more closely tailored to react to the form of the virus that is circulating now. While the cost of the updated vaccine is no longer covered by the government, the booster is covered by insurance, and those without insurance can register for programs that reimburse a pharmacy partner for the vaccine. Many pharmacies will also offer the booster to children for free, even without insurance. Another fatal crash occurred in Polk County this week. According to the Wisconsin State Patrol, two people were killed and three were injured on Wednesday after a crash in Polk County near Turtle Lake. The crash occurred around 5:30 in the evening on US 8 at 33rd Street. When authorities responded to the incident, they discovered a 92-year-old woman and a 66-year-old man had died from injuries sustained in the crash. The cause of the crash is under investigation. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
To the Maggie Dawn Show. I'll explain it to you again. Maggie's out. She's doing some lawyering. Has a hearing that ran late. And I believe has a conference in D.C. this week. So you're going to hear too much of yours truly. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn the next couple of days. Mike Crude filling in for Maggie. I'll try to, you know, book smart people so I don't look terribly dumb here in this slot. But I would like to also share some opinions, and we'd love to hear yours. Anastasia lightly screening them at 844-967-2789. Again, Anastasia, you know her, you love her, 844-967-2789. She'll get you on the Maggie Dawn Show. But here's a little editorial shared with me today. Stop the wild threats of impeachment. Let Justice Janet Protasiewicz do her job. Yeah, I concur. Rep. Travis Tranel's constituents in Grant County helped elect Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court last spring with 51% of the county's vote.
Rep. John Plummer's Assembly District runs through Columbia County, which favored Protasiewicz with 55% of its ballots. Rep. Todd Novak represents most of Lafayette and Iowa counties, which back Protasiewicz with 59% of their vote. Are these three Republican lawmakers and their conservative colleagues who control the state assembly really going to push into impeachment proceedings against Janet Protasiewicz, seeking to overturn the will of the voters? Question mark. The editorial board at the Wisconsin State Journal says, we sure hope not. If they do, they'll face the wrath of these very same voters for blatantly reversing the voice of the people. Yeah, that's who we, the people, voted for by an 11% preference. Protasiewicz over Kelly. You knew he was terrible. You knew he was a bad candidate. That's why you tried to run Doro out there. But anyways, let me read on. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, recently threatened to impeach Justice Protasiewicz, an experienced Milwaukee County judge and prosecutor, because she had even heard a single high court case. Voss's intimidating talk of taking her down is widely irresponsible, undemocratic, and comes off as desperate. Kind of. A little bit desperate, Robin. Got to mention. A little bit desperate. Elections have consequences, and Protasiewicz just won hers by more than 10 percentage points statewide over former Justice Dan Kelly, whom Voss and other fixtures of the Republican establishment, well, they supported. So did Trump, right? Voss is threatening impeachment if Protasiewicz doesn't recuse herself from a case involving Voss's gerrymandered maps for assembly and Senate voting districts. Voss knows those maps help him keep his GOP majority and stay in power. Well, we know that Voss knows it's not because of the, what's he always say, better candidates and better ideas and rigged maps. That's the big unspoken part. It's the rigged maps, Robin. You know it, and I know it. And so do all the people now. And while the two major parties collected similar numbers of votes statewide in the fall 2022 election, the Republican-controlled legislature nonetheless maintained huge majorities, 64-35 in the Assembly and 21-11 in the Senate. Gerrymandering is the main reason why. Following the 2020 census, Voss and company spent millions of dollars on a team of lawyers, political strategists, sophisticated computer software to draw the lines of legislative districts to his partisan advantage, and then to defend them in court. Yeah, with our taxpayer money. And outside attorneys, of course. Now he's lawyering up again at taxpayer expense to fight still more legal challenges. Now, the Supreme Court's 4-3 conservative majority had pretty much allowed Republicans to reshape districts however they pleased. But Protasiewicz's victory in the April 4th election shifts control of the court, the liberal-leading justices. So Voss, the longest-serving speaker in state history, not because he's good, but because he's gerrymandered, I would point out, is running scared. Liberal groups have already filed two lawsuits challenging Voss's maps, and Protasiewicz could be the deciding vote striking them down. I hope so. We'll see. Now, Voss claims Protasiewicz must recuse herself from any cases involving his maps because she called them unfair and rigged during her recent campaign. We agree. Protasiewicz discussed political issues more than she should have. They agree. I less so. Judicial candidates should strive to be independent arbiters of the law and not to give the impression they are prejudging cases that might come before them. But the gerrymandered legislative maps are indeed unfair and rigged. Protasiewicz shouldn't be impeached for speaking the truth. Truth hurts sometimes, right, Robin? Not if you can impeach a Supreme Court justice and keep it buried. Moreover, she didn't weigh into specifics. In fact, she said less about redistricting cases than any other member of the court. That's because all of the incumbents have had to rule on cases challenging the maps in the past.
Nothing is wrong with that. Their jobs as high court justices required it. If Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules. We're just talking about that, right? Recusal rules, I think they're called, for when justices should leave a case because of a conflict, either real or perceived. Currently, individual justices decide for themselves. Remember? Remember Robin Voss, who wrote those rules? Your buddies at Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and of course, the conservative, often conservative, leading Wisconsin Realtors Association. Big bucks they've thrown. And they got to write their own recusal rules as big donors before the courts. They got to write the recusal rules for the courts. Do you know how disingenuous this stance seems, Robin Voss? I'm just saying. Anyways, if Voss is seriously concerned about politics affecting our courts, he should stop threatening judges and instead support clear rules for when justices should leave a case because of a conflict, either real or perceived. Now, currently, as mentioned, I know I'm being redundant here. I want to stick in. Currently, individual justices decide for themselves if they can be fair, an incredibly loose standard. Is there any looser standard? I get to judge whether I can be fair somewhere in my brain. If I feel like I'm being fair, I must be fair. Doesn't matter if they gave me millions of dollars. Literally, we're talking about David Prosser, Michael Cableman. These justices were supported by millions of dollars. Now when it's pro to say what's, of course, they're going to scream bloody murder when the Democratic Party is the litigant before the Supreme Court. Because she's already, she being Protasewicz, has already shown a willingness to, let's say, do the right thing. When there might be a perceived conflict of interest, if the Democratic Party is a litigant before the court, Protasewicz said she will recuse. You know what? Under the recusal rules of this Wisconsin Supreme Court, written by Robin Voss's buddies, Wisconsin Manufacturer and Commerce, in the Wisconsin Realtors Association, my question would be, why recuse under any circumstance ever? You know, you're fair in your own brain. You don't need some outside schmoes telling you when or when not to recuse. Just ask Prosser. What was his standard? Do you recall? Prosser was the beneficiary of millions of dollars in campaign spending from outside groups that then became litigants before the court. And what was the Prosser standard? Nah, it'd been more than a year. 365 days, that's the Prosser standard. So, Voss points to Protasewicz getting millions in campaign donations from the Democratic Party, which is true, but conservative members of the court have benefited from millions in support from the Republican Party and its backers. The only way to fix the influence of money on judicial campaigns is to limit contributions or appoint judges based on merit. Voss has opposed both solutions in the past. Know what I mean? This is not a good idea as far as he's concerned. Now, Republicans aren't the only ones who gerrymander. Democrats have rigged voting maps in states such as Illinois and Maryland, where they hold power. And it doesn't matter which party does it. It's wrong, and it should stop, according to the editorial board here at the Wisconsin State Journal. Now, they say that's why the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board has long favored the Iowa model for nonpartisan redistricting. Now, you realize that is a conservative state with a Republican governor. Kim Reynolds is no bleeding heart liberal, but the state of Iowa has a fair redistricting process. So even though Republicans might be the top of the ticket, the Democratic Party is not hopelessly gerrymandered into super minority status, you know, like 21 to 11, or what was it, 65 to 34, in a state where more people voted for the Democratic Party on the legislative ticket last time. In Iowa, state agency insulated from politics draws the lines to account for population changes.
It does so with instructions to keep districts as compact as possible while ignoring past voting results and the impact on incumbents. Do you hear that, Robin Voss? It's almost like that's not supposed to matter. The result in Iowa has been fair, neat-looking maps that follow the lines of municipal boundaries rather than carving up communities into odd shapes for political advantage. Iowa voters enjoy more competition for legislative seats and avoid wasting millions of tax dollars on court fights. Again, Robin Voss doesn't give a damn because it's not his money. It's not even coming out of the Republican caucus slush fund. It comes out of we, the people, the Wisconsin voters, we, the taxpayers. We're the ones that pay for the legal counsel for all the malfeasant lawsuits, non-meritorious lawsuits of this Republican Party. But, you know, it's not really about fiscal prudence so much as malfeasance. More from this editorial. The answer to gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin is an impeachment. As Tranel, Plumber, and Novak should know, it's a fair system like Iowa's, which all three have voiced support for in the past. So have 63% of respondents, including 62% of Republicans in a Marquette Law School poll. Did you hear all that? 63% of people and 62% of Republicans. They also want fair representation on the legislative level. So, like, when they vote for a guy or a girl, they want fair representation. Some people call that one person, one vote. Well, when your legislative leaders are predetermined by pre-cooked gerrymandered maps, that's not representative democracy. The little d democracy, not like Democratic Party democracy, just in case CJ's still listening. A little bit more from this. They, as mentioned, support the Iowa model. The result in Iowa, well, we talked about the fact that it had been fair. Now, Tranel, Plumber, and Novak, again, those are Republicans in the assembly here in the great state of Wisconsin, and others should tell the boss, you know, Boss Voss, to drop the impeachment talk and support a real solution that Wisconsin voters overwhelmingly support. Now, that is from the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board. And they, like I, think this talk of impeachment of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice is irresponsible. It's ridiculous. The difference between I and the thoughtful people at the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board is I think they'll go through with it. I don't think they learn lessons easy. I think they are looking for this fight. And I think we the people, better be prepared for it. Come back with us. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, trying to fill her shoes. I probably have bigger feet, but, you know, she's smarter and all that kind of stuff. So bear with me. A few more days. More Devils. Maggie Dawn. And Anastasia. If they call them, answer 844-96-PARTY.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds for tonight. Lows drop into the upper 50s. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, some showers and storms, especially first half of the day. High near 70. Sunny and low 70s for the weekend. Dry with a warming trend to start next week. Currently at 75 degrees.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Confuse me. Anastasia, lightly screening your calls. We can still take calls here at 844-967-2789. Let's start here. I believe it's Charles from Madison. Charles, you're next. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Say hi to Crudy or Anastasia or whoever you want to. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Anastasia. Hello, guys. I'm from Green Bay, the home of the Packers, babe. But the thing is, my question is this. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. If we've got all these lawsuits out to stop this, you know, impeachment, why waste time going locally, go to the federal district court, jump the line? Because the fact of the matter is, if it goes to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, you know, how is Janet Protasiewicz going to be able to vote on that? She can't, because it pertains to her. But the thing is, if we go above that, let's take it to the, you know, the federal court in Milwaukee. Next, the other thing is this. What's good for the goose isn't good for the gander. You're telling me that Republicans can take all this money, but the Democrats can't. Somehow, you know, that's a little hypocrisy. I don't understand why Robin Voss is being such a... I do understand why he's being such a piece of work. Is because he's playing into the hand of his boss, who has been, how many times? 91 indictments. And he's afraid that if you know, doesn't get in there, he won't get a job in that cabinet. I'll leave you with that thought. Go with it.
Charles, I loved everything you had to say, except the thought that Robin Voss is looking for a job in the Trump cabinet. Now, I definitely think Robin Voss is fearful of Donald Trump. How do we know that? Because when Trump called him, he got on the private jet down to Alabama. He set up a special prosecutor here in the state of Wisconsin in Michael Gableman, right? A year and a half later, he's calling the guy an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin, but still claiming there's been malfeasance undertaken. Here's what I would say. I think that Robin Voss is too cute by half. I think he's smart enough to know better. He knew that Donald Trump didn't have the election stolen from him, but he's also afraid of the Trump base. I mean, this is a violent base. These are not nice human beings. They charged Robin Voss on the mound already. They've already gone to Voss's office in the Wisconsin State Capitol. And that was Janelle Branchen. That was his own Assembly Elections Committee chairperson marching the hooligans into his office against him. That's Robin Voss. He doesn't even have the support of his own crazy Trump-loving, let's overturn the election, decertify the vote, Janelle Branchen. So, I know that's a lot of words. Charles, your thoughts? No, Charles? Did we lose Charles? Let's keep moving down the list. 844-967. Thank you for listening, Charles. Hopefully you're still listening. 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, L.A. Tom. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Crudy. I'm good, man. Clearly good.
First off, we the people ultimately are the government. And I hope everybody hearing that really realizes that we are the government. And we have the power to do what we need to in elections. And here's the part, and I think the article says it very perfectly. You'd have to decide, do you want to have people that are running for Supreme Court actually running like an election, or do you want them to be appointed? Because if you're saying that you want them to be elected, then, sorry, they have to run for office. When you run for office, you got to tell what you're for, what you're against. And I would say that's on either side for anybody that's running. Otherwise, let the governor appoint the person that is supposed to be in the Supreme Court justice.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Tom. I do believe in judicial appointments. I don't know that we could start over at this late hour with that dynamic. But what I think always used to happen is these conservatives, judicial conservatives, could go on right-wing talk radio. And they were spring elections, and it wouldn't take a lot of effort to gin up the conservative vote. And they would say, Dan Kelly's the right one, or Hagedorn, or whatever the case may be. It was always very clear who was the chosen candidate of the conservative brain trust. And, you know, I think these supposed liberals here in the state of Wisconsin, they never led clearly with what they believed in. And then I think it was actually Justice Dallet that broke that mold. I thought Justice Dallet was very clear in her opinions. I think that Kurowski followed her example. And I think that obviously Janet Protasiewicz followed their two examples. And Dallet is the one that introduced Protasiewicz at the Democratic Party convention. If anyone was advising her behind the scenes, here's how you do it, I bet it was Rebecca Dallet. Any thoughts, Tom?
Yeah, if I was Protasiewicz, I would not be recusing myself from anything.
Nope.
But if she does, she's actually doing a disservice to the people that voted for her and won by, 30%? Or whatever it was.
She won by 11%.
Falling through. 11%.
Well,
she's doing a disservice to those people. Women that fought for a woman's right to choose. People that have fought for the districting to have more fair maps in the state of Wisconsin. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that court case is exactly that. But all she's saying is that there needs to be fair maps. I don't think that's a problem and that the maps haven't been fair. I think anybody can look at that objectively and say, yeah, these maps haven't been fair.
Well, let me ask you this. $10 million from the Democratic Party, and they are not litigants in the gerrymandering case. But setting that aside for a minute, should Judge Janet, Justice Janet Protasiewicz, should she recuse in cases that the Democratic Party is a litigant because of the overwhelming generosity of the party in support of her candidacy? It's like $10 million.
You know what? We have elections and we have money in politics. Maybe she wants to fight to get money out of politics. That would be a really, really nice thing if they could actually.
But Tom, she's got to set that example then, does she not? There,
well, no, because as long as it's there, as long as the rules are the way the rules are, you have to play the game. You can say, you know, as an example, I could run for office and say, hey, I'm against money in politics, take a bunch of money in from different donors. But then when I get in office, actually act as if I am trying to get money out of politics. But you're never going to get elected if you don't take the money.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you listening to the Maggie Dawn Show tonight. Never bring a knife to a gunfight, right? They put one of yours in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue. That's, well, I'd say the Chicago way, but they have a habit of losing. They're not really so tough anymore. Maggie Dawn, I'll be filling in for her this week. She's busy lawyering or something important. But you're going to want to stick around. Mark Thompson, the Paul Revere Show, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. Stick around for him.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.com.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.